This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein from Machon Hadar. Parashat Toldot 57:77. The cry of the bound from Isaac to Esav. Yitzchak is a complex figure, at times motivated by interpersonal ties and connected, and at times both an isolated and an isolating personality. I would like to explore the expression of both these aspects of Yitzchak in our parasha. Parashat Toldot opens with a touching description of Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak was 40 when he took his wife Rivka, daughter of Betuel the Aramean, from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan the Aramean. Yitzchak prayed to God for facing Lenochach his wife because she was barren. God acquiesced to him, and his wife Rivka became pregnant. Yitzchak himself is not described as longing for a child. What compels him to pray, according to the verses, is his wife and his standing lenochach, facing her. The description of this scene in the Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah amplifies what is occurring between Rivka and Yitzchak in two ways. In the biblical text, only Yitzchak prays. But in the Midrash, Rivka is also described as praying. Opposite his wife, this comes to teach that Yitzchak was prostrate in prayer in one place, and she was prostrate in another. Second, the Midrash supplies the content of the prayer, which according to the Midrash, focuses not only on the request for a child, but also on the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. And so the Midrash elaborates Yitzchak's prayer. He said before the Holy Blessed One, Master of the universe, any future child that you will give me should be from this righteous woman. And she said the same. Yitzchak's behavior is quite different from that of his father, Avraham, when Avraham was in a similar set of circumstances and his wife Sarah was barren. Avraham followed his wife's suggestion to try and have children with another woman. He abandons to a certain degree his wife in favor of his wife's servant. Yitzchak, on the other hand, is described as standing alongside his wife, with her. Looking closely at the way that Rivka is described by the verses provides some background or context for understanding the unique bond that exists between her and Yitzchak. Rivka has one salient quality. She is a figure that is bound to other people. Yitzchak was 40 when he took his wife, Rivka, daughter of Betuel the Aramean from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan the Aramean. She isn't just connected to Yitzchak, her husband, who prays for her. She is generally described by the people to whom she is related. Someone's daughter, someone's sister, and now someone's wife. She is a relational person who is connected to a number of different people, and these individual bonds don't impinge on one another. They are all described equivalently. This is the background we are given about Rivka before we find out about Yitzchak's praying for her. This description of Rivka suggests the possibility that maybe it is because she is a connected person, attached in many ways, that Yitzchak himself is motivated to connect to her, and his feeling connected to her enables him to truly see her and her desires. Yitzchak doesn't only pray in our parasha, he also bestows blessings. The prayer that Yitzchak offers on behalf of his wife is described in light of connections, but the blessings that he offers to his children, the children that he prayed for, are described in the shadows of disconnect. When Yitzchak grants the blessings to his children, he is described in a way that makes him seem like an opposite character to Rivka. He is a figure characterized by distance and disconnect, alone and blind. He either barks at those he loves go out or doesn't invite them in at all. An isolated person who also creates isolation and alienation. Chapter 27 of Bereshit opens with a description of Yitzchak's blindness. And it was when Yitzchak became old, his eyes were too clouded to see. The text continues, "He called to his eldest son Esav and said to him, 'My son,' and he said, 'Here I am.'" This dialogue between Yitzhak and his son is reminiscent of a short conversation that Yitzhak had with his own father when they were walking to the mountain in preparation for the Akedah. We shall return to this other conversation shortly. Back in our parasha, Yitzhak continues and says to his son Esav, "Behold, I am old, and I do not know when I will die. Prepare the delicacies that I love in order that my soul shall bless you before I die." Yitzhak's request from Esav continues, "Take your gear, your quiver and bow, and go out into the open and hunt me some game." This verse is surprising. In place of saying, "Sit alongside me before I die," Yitzhak, blind and uncertain, says to his son, "Go out." On its own, the connection to his son Esav does not satisfy Yitzhak. He is in need of beloved foods in order that my soul will bless you. This connection to his son Esav is not sufficient to move him to bless. The language of "go out" that accompanies Yitzhak's instructions to his son is in stark juxtaposition with the image of Yitzhak praying, facing his wife. The chapter continues to describe Rivka. Rivka is listening, hearing. This is a loaded phrase. Seemingly, Rivka is listening because Yitzhak didn't include her in his plans. He didn't consult with her or tell her. In some sense, he not only says go out to Esav, but to Rivka as well. Yitzhak's blindness is thus characterized by separation and isolation from the people he loves. This deliberate separation becomes even more stark when seen in the larger context of the use of language in this chapter. The story is characterized by speech which is direct and extensive, especially terms that refer to family, "my father, Avi," and "my son, Bni," which appear 5 times as frequently here than they do anywhere else in Bereshit. Esav calls "my father, Avi," when bringing the fresh meat that his father requested, and again when he realizes that Yaakov received the blessing intended for him. This second time is a broken-hearted cry. He said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." Esav's request that he also be blessed is met with the stark view of his father, "But I have made him master over you. I have given him all his brothers for servants, and sustained him with grain and wine. What then can I still do for you, my son, Bni?" Esav has difficulty accepting this reality. When Esav heard his father's words, he burst into wild and bitter sobbing, and in a devastated response and quivering voice presents the most challenging question to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father, Avi? How could it be that a father has 2 sons, but only one blessing? Bless me too, my father." But Esav has no real recourse. All he can do is cry. And Esav wept aloud. Yitzhak is a divided person, so attached to his wife and so disconnected from his children. Why is it that Yitzhak can't bless his sons? In order to try and understand this, we again have to turn our attention to the language used when Yitzhak and Esav do speak directly to one another. "He called his son, his older son, Esav, and said to him, 'My son, Bni,' and he answered, 'Here I am, Hineni.'" This exchange is eerily familiar. It's difficult not to hear the distinct echo of the conversation that Yitzhak had with his father, Avraham, on the way to Mount Moriah, the location of the Akedah. When Isaac said to his father, Avraham, "Father, Avi," and he answered, "Here I am, my son, Hineni Bni." Maybe what we have in front of us is a variation on the original Akedah story. Esav has a father who has 2 children, and who has, according to Yitzhak's understanding of the divine will, just 1 blessing. Yitzhak is a father who believes that he has to choose between his oldest and his youngest sons, and maybe even between God and his children. A father who is afraid when he is called to respond and protect by means of the saying, "My father, Avi." He is startled at the exact moment when, as a father, he is expected to supply a solution or response. A father who can't hear his son's cry for social order, an arrangement that is both complex and connected. Esav cries, "My father," 4 times, and in the end he realizes, just as his father did, that there's no answer beyond silence. He gives up and he cries. The order that Esav is crying out for is one in which fathers don't eliminate or sacrifice their children. He wants a world in which a father blesses his children, all his children, a world that is complex and connected, of people who love each other, facing each other. Lenochach. Maybe the connection and unconditional acceptance that Esav wants from Yitzchak is something that he can't give because Yitzchak never received it from Avraham. Yitzchak inherits his father's stubborn, distant obedience and acts that way with his son. Yitzchak is able to love, able to connect, can see the other and notice someone else's needs, as we see when he stands Lenochach Rivka. But when it comes to his sons, he is distant and distancing. The echo of the Akedah suggests that Yitzchak learns about relationships from Rivka and about disconnect from Avraham. May we learn from Yitzchak about the multiple possibilities of relationship and with open eyes choose between them. Shabbat Shalom.